At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey guys, I've got Amanda from Pennsylvania on the line, and Amanda's got a bunch of stories. I got a feeling we're going to get to some of them today. We'll probably get to some more a little later because she does have a bunch, like I said. But Amanda, you're one of these lucky people that have not only seen a full-bodied apparition, that's the holy grail of the paranormal community, but that was your very first paranormal experience. Tell me about it.
Okay. So just a little bit of backstory. The house where I grew up, which is still currently where my mom is living, I was the fifth generation to actually live within that house. My current house where I live right now, I'm actually the third generation. And when my mom was younger, she was sleeping in her room and for some reason just sat bolt upright in the middle of the night. And she saw her great-great-grandmother standing in her doorway with her long, late 1800s dress, bun up in her hair. Her hands were folded, kind of like in a praying, her fingers were laced. And they were just kind of down, her head was down. She was just looking, and then she looked right at my mom, and my mom just pulled the covers right up over her head and went back to sleep. I don't remember how old my mom was. I think she said she was about 8. Mm-hmm. But okay, so going into my experience, I was about 7, and where I was living whenever I grew up, my mom's house was built in 1820, I believe. And that's where my great, great, great grandparents lived whenever they came over from Slovakia. And my great, great grandfather, great, great, great grandfather, he was actually a blacksmith. So that house where he lived was actually his place of business. And then he lived in the apartments upstairs. It eventually got added on to be an actual full sized house. So I was going upstairs and I was turning the light on. Now, kind of like how in movies where they try to depict a dream sequence and they either show it going in slow motion or being foggy. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what it was. It was very foggy or misty in the stairway and up at the top of the stairs. Turned the light on, saw this, and just thinking in my 7-year-old head, wow, this is odd. And then I look at the top of the steps, and it's this man standing there, plaid, a red plaid shirt, coveralls or overalls, and just he was looking at me with a stern face. Yeah, he was looking at me with a stern voice. But yeah, he was looking at me with a very stern face, and it kind of creeped me out because I'm 7 years old. This is my first paranormal experience first time ever experiencing this, and I don't recognize this person. So I turn my light off, and I run into my living room, and I tell my parents that, there's somebody upstairs. I just saw him. I'm not going up there because I think I was supposed to go to bed or something. So my dad, being a dad, went up there and just kicked the ghost out. So that was that part. And then about a year or so later, I want to say, I was about 8. I was in my bathroom, and our medicine cabinet has these pull-out mirrors to where they kind of pull out on an angle. So mm-hmm. that way, look at this side, you could see the back of your head on the other mirror.
Oh yeah.
So I had them closed. I was brushing my teeth and just brushing my teeth. All of a sudden I look up in the mirror at myself and I see the same man standing behind me. So, as anyone would ever do if they see a reflection of somebody standing behind them, they turn around and look. The person was not there. So I lean up, look into the mirror where I thought this person was, and how that house is set up is that the hallway is like, it's on an angle, and the living room is on the right, or excuse me, on the left, and then it goes into the kitchen. Well, with the way that the mirrors are positioned, you can see part of the living room from the like doorway of the bathroom. So I lean up and I look, and I just see the shadow figure walk from my living room into my kitchen. I asked my dad if he just walked into the living or into the kitchen, and he said no. Why? And I said, no reason. Come to find out, when in 2018, whenever I was getting married, I'm looking through old photo albums, and I see this guy. I see the guy that I saw whenever I was 7 or 8 years old. I rip the photo out of the photo album and I run to my mom. I'm screaming. I'm like, mom. And she's like, what? And I asked her, who is this guy? Who is this man? And she said, it's your great, great, great grandfather, Olsabiki. And I said, are you serious? And she said, yeah. And she said, why? I was like, well, because you remember that time whenever I got really scared, whenever I had to go to bed and saw this guy standing upstairs. And then they also saw the same guy standing behind me when I was brushing my teeth one night. And she said, yeah. I said, that's the guy that I saw. And she said, oh, that's odd, because you remember that time whenever I told you about the girl, the woman that woke me up in the middle of the night standing in my doorway. And I said, yeah. She said, that was his wife.
That makes it almost too big of a coincidence to be a coincidence.
Yeah. And like, I shit you not. It's 100% real. Like it, I mean, I know you're a believer, cause I've heard your stories, and I've listened to you reading your book, which is awesome, by the way. Yeah, you're welcome. And I mean, it's odd that it happened to me so young, but it's also odd that it happened to me so late in my childhood too, considering my mom having her paranormal experiences and my grandmother, my mom's mom, having paranormal experiences as well. So yeah, it was pretty odd, but I mean, it was worth it.
So what do you say the house you're in now, you're the third generation in there. Has anything happened in that house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Share a couple with me.
So the one that comes to my mind one time, it was like right whenever my husband and I moved in. Well, he was then my boyfriend, but yeah, whatever. I was taking a bath, and in our garage, because we have our garage, it's attached to our house, and there's the door going from the basement into the into the garage. Well, it makes a distinct sound whenever it's opened and whenever it's closed. So I heard it being closed one night, and I thought it was my husband. His name is Josh, so I'll refer to him as Josh now. I thought it was Josh, and I'm like, okay, well, he's not supposed to be home right now, because it's 9:30. He normally doesn't get home until like 11:30. And I waited to see if I heard like the distinct footsteps coming up our steps. Did not hear it. So I called out to him. There was no response. It freaked me out so much that I jumped up out of the tub, wrapped myself in my towel, ran out into my living room and sat on my couch in my towel until my husband came home. And when he came home, he's like, what's up with you? And I said, this is my experience that I had. You're going to come in the bathroom with me while I finish taking my shower, cause I'm not taking a bath now. And he said, okay. And it scared the living daylights out of me, because that was my first paranormal experience in this house.
So would you consider yourself to be sensitive, or do you think you've just been in situations where you've been in a bunch of haunted houses?
Probably both. I get what I would call premonitions, because ever since I was a little child, I would always get these weird feelings whenever I knew someone in my family that I loved or that I knew was about to pass away. And like, I would get that feeling, and then maybe about a day later, or maybe even in the same day, I would know that somebody in my family or a friend or family friend or whatever passed away. The last time I actually had anything like with feeling wise like that was in 2007 when my grandmother passed away. But ever since then, like, I'll get what I call fleeting thoughts. For example, my one friend, we were at work, because she's one of my coworkers. We were at work and she said something to me, and I just, for some reason, the thought that popped into my head was, oh, she's pregnant. And it just, fleeting thought, goes away, think nothing of it. Come to find out, maybe 2-3 weeks later, she comes to tell me that she's pregnant. And I'm like, you know what? That's so weird, because guess what? And I told her about that time. And then another woman at work, one of our pharmacists, she was just like verifying some prescriptions and stuff. And I walked past, and the same thing. Oh, I wonder if she's pregnant, came to my head, and then it just went away. And then I find out 2 weeks later that she's having a baby. So there's that. And then, some other times, like, I'll get really emotional, and then I'll find out that, like, one of my pets passed away, like, 3 days after. I got really emotional for no apparent reason. But yeah, I mean, I guess I would maybe say both. I guess maybe I'm a little bit sensitive in a way, like, premonition wise. But also probably because I live in haunted houses.
What's the craziest thing you can remember, other than what maybe you've already told us? I would think the full-bodied apparition when you're 7 and 8 probably would be the craziest, but give me one of the craziest things that's happened to you that even to this day you still don't believe, and we'll end on that one.
So one of the craziest things, in the house where I grew up, my childhood home, the dining room was actually my playroom. And I was standing up on one of my step stools, or I can't remember what it was, but anyway, I felt myself be picked up from underneath my armpits, and I was thrown into the middle of the room, and I landed right on my back.
That's not good.
No.
Now, was this like a playful little toss, or was this like more of a violent type throw?
So it was, I don't necessarily know. I can't really actually, because I don't remember the actual me being tossed. I just remember being picked up and then slamming down in the middle of the floor on my back. I mean, obviously it happened with like that, like split right. second. But I don't know. One of the people that I talked to, who's one of our local ghost hunters, she actually told me that it was most likely a poltergeist. Like poltergeist activity. And like, from what I know of poltergeists, I'm like, well, I don't necessarily know if I believe that. Cause aren't they just supposed to be noisy spirits that, like, you know, open up your cupboards and stuff like that?
Well, technically, the word poltergeist loosely translates to noisy ghost, but mm-hmm. a lot of people associate a lot more of those things to poltergeist activity. As far as like, you know, it's not just the sounds and stuff anymore. People are starting to say you can be tossed around and stuff like that. If one of the most famous poltergeist stories, if you want to call it poltergeist, was the Bell Witch. And there was a lot of that. The daughter was constantly being picked up by her hair or dragged down a hall or thrown around. And they considered that to be poltergeist activity. So it really can be a little bit of everything.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cause that makes sense, because I mean, I'm pretty sure that you guys covered the Bell Witch in one of your earlier episodes.
Yeah. It was one of the early ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I remember I was listening to it and I was sitting in my living room and I was like, oh, this is kind of creepy. And I got the chilies.
It's my favorite all-time ghost story. I don't think there's any that compared to the Bell Witch. There's some good stories out there, but that one has everything.
Yeah, the first time that I was ever exposed to the Bell Witch story was, there's this book that I checked out of my school library. It's called Hauntings in America. And in there, it has all these like different hauntings. It has the hauntings like that Abraham Lincoln experienced, all the way up to like the Bell Witch. And that's the first exposure that I had to the Bell Witch whenever I was reading that book. And that book was highly sought after for me after a while. Finally found it on Amazon, and I have it in I call it my library. And I cannot wait to read it again.
I honestly think I have that book. Is that a Hans Hoser book? Do you know?
Don't think it's a Hans Hoser book. I think it's the cover is orange, and it's like kind of like outlined of different things. And I think it says that it was illustrated by Eric von Schmidt. I can't remember who the author was, but I'll send you the information.
Yeah, I'm almost positive I have that one. So.
Okay, cool.
I have a pretty extensive library of haunting books.
Yeah. Well, the one book, the Ghost That Haunted Itself, that was mentioned a couple of times on your podcast, and I got that for Christmas actually this year.
I actually saw that on your post. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so exciting. I started reading it and I'm like, oh, this is so great. So, but yeah.
Amanda, it was awesome having you on. I'm glad you were able to jump on last minute, because I put out a plea for more stories this morning, and you said you had some stuff. So I'm glad we could make it happen.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me on, and I will gladly come back on.
Well, I'm definitely going to have you on again, because I know you've got a bunch more stories to tell. So.
Yeah. Oh. And okay, so I was the one who got back to you a little bit late about the iTunes review winning the shirt.
Okay.
Yeah, I told you I was going to email you back with a picture. Well, I didn't want to send the picture because I was not feeling good the day that I got it. So I was like, I look a little bit crappy, so I'm not going to send this. But yeah, like, yeah, I have it on right now. I just want to punch him in his face. It's become like one of my daily things whenever I get mad at something.
Well, that's awesome, and I'm glad that you won, and I'm glad we were able to hook you up with a shirt that you wanted.
Yeah, thank you so much. And yeah, it's great, you know.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Amanda.
All right, thank you. Tell Tracy I said hi, and give like Freddy and Ninja pets for me, and the ferrets. Cannot forget the ferrets.
Well, guess what, we no longer have the ferrets.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was a good thing. When the girls lived with us, Kristen and Dakota and Addison lived with us, the ferrets got played with all the time. And they moved out about 2.5 years ago, and the ferrets don't get played with near as much as what they used to. And they sit out in the garage, and I let them run around in the garage by themselves every once in a while. It's a attached garage. And we'll let them run around out there, but they really need people. And we've had them for about 4.5 years. And we did a book signing, and a good friend of mine that's had his daughter came up, and he had mentioned just in passing about he said, yeah, I told her that you might have the ferrets here. And she's like 10. And she is in love with ferrets. She'd been asking for ferrets. And I told him, I said, you know, we literally had two or three days before that talked about the possibility of finding them a new home. And, and I mentioned it to him, and we decided to make that happen for Christmas. So the Thursday before Christmas, I drove it an hour and a half and the cage and everything up to her house. And they shot some video when she saw it, and she was so excited. And they're in a lot better place now. I miss them, but they're going to get played with all the time now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's the best.
Yeah. It's the first pet that I can ever remember in my life that I had and ended up not keeping until they were gone. So, but you know, sometimes you got to do what's right for the pet.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, all right, darling, I appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I'll tell everybody you said hi.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.